You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
1.9 WGBW. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy still not convinced computers are here to stay, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome back to Nightlight, folks, as we kick off the second act here, hour number two on this Thursday night edition, the eve of Halloween. How cool is that? It's just exciting. Any holiday the night before is exciting. Even though, like, Halloween is not my favorite holiday, but there's just a buzz in the air, kind of exciting. It's a little creepy. It's a little dark outside. Amanda Nimmer is here tonight, sitting in for the kid, Conrad Krieger. How do you think it's going, Amanda?
It went terribly in the beginning.
They had us in the first half.
I think I got it, guys.
You're doing fine. You know what Conrad said? He said, I'm going to leave a bunch of wrong instructions to play a joke on Amanda.
Well, that would explain why he's like, oh, it's a yellow button. Conrad, it was not a yellow button.
That's funny. Our guest tonight, folks, we have Emerson Lehman in the studio. We'll be back with our pal Emerson in just a moment. He gave the popcorn pick of the week, which was Spotlight, a most excellent choice, a great movie. Mark Ruffalo, Michael Keaton, Oscar winner. Check it out. A great movie about the scandal in the Catholic Church. It was just a very well done movie. So that was exciting. Emerson is going to be here for a few more minutes. At 7:20, our pal Todd Michaels will be here talking paranormal activity, and what better night to do so. We're going to talk a little bit about the actual, and I didn't even know this, but Amanda, you knew this, the Conjuring House is an actual house. And we're going to auction it off on Halloween, and I think Todd knows something about that. We'll talk maybe a little bit about his TV show he helped produce called Haunted State. And Ed Gein, which is on Netflix right now, part of the Monster series. And it's not getting great reviews, but we'll see what Todd's take is. And we'll just talk to him a little bit about one of Wisconsin's very own, Ed Gein. And what else did we talk about, Amanda? What am I missing? Question of the night?
Question of the night?
Yeah. Why don't you do the honors?
Oh, okay. So question of the night is, how do you feel about daylight savings time? More AM or PM light?
Most people have said PM light. My pal Emerson here has said AM light because you get up so early because...
I like to be difficult. That's why. I just like to be different.
That is the voice of Emerson Lehman, folks. He is one of the anchors of the WBAY-TV Action 2 News This Morning team here in Green Bay. Check it out every morning. Now, you get up at 3:30. What time do you actually go on the air?
So, we go on air at 4:30.
You go on the air at 4:30.
Yep. So, we have our meeting at 3:30, and then we're on air at from 4:30 to 7. Then we got an internet-only show from 7:05 to 7:30, and We're busy in the morning.
That is insane. So you're on the air for three hours.
3 hours. Typically,
okay.
Yeah.
How many cups of coffee do you drink a day?
None. Great question.
Oh, my God.
Zero.
You don't do coffee?
How old are you?
I will be 29 in 3 weeks.
Oh, that explains it.
Do you do energy drinks or caffeine in any form?
So I can't say, like, I don't drink coffee in the morning. I don't do energy drinks in the morning. I'm just water. But I will do, like, if I'm going to treat myself today. Like, I'll get, like, a iced coffee when I'm, like, driving back home to visit my parents. Or yesterday I had a Red Bull at pickleball because why not? typically I'm not really, my co-anchor Tammy, she loves her coffee and I respect that. I just haven't really ever gotten into it. I feel like I need to really doctor my coffee up to enjoy it. And we don't have the time to do that. So I don't know. That's my excuse.
This is just a suggestion. And I'm not saying, I'm not a TV guy. Would it kill you to have, like, a martini in your hand when you're doing the morning? I mean, think about, now, I know this sounds like I'm trying to make a joke. Amanda, Amanda always turns the mic off and then laughs.
It's habit.
It would just set this tone. Like, look how laid back they are. They're having a blast over there.
Yeah, that certainly would set some type of tone. I'll be honest. Like I said before the break, I'm not a huge drinker.
Right.
I'm a lightweight, so I don't think that that would be a good situation for anybody. Okay. Yeah. I don't know, man. It just. I really.
It's okay.
I never thought of it. I stick to the H2O. I'm an H2O kind of guy.
Half kidding.
I knew there was like a half in there.
So Emerson and I are going to talk pickleball in just a minute, but I'm going to get through a couple texts here. Conrad's mom. See, this is what I love about the Krieger family. Conrad is not even in the zip code. They still tune in.
Love that.
Paul is listening. I much prefer having more light at night, so after work, we can still golf. Very nice. Thank you, Paul.
They're down in Florida, right?
They are.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Tom from the 414 says, Pete, is PM pre-made or AM after made, you're still mad? Tom, I don't get that.
Tom's got jokes.
I think he, Tom loves to give me a hard time, and I love when he does, but I don't know if he's saying AM or PM there. Amanda, maybe you could pull out your Tom text decoder ring. And Steve from Florida in the 920, that's where his cell phone is anyway, says, hello, Pete and Amanda. FYI, Kim Kardashian has never known what she is talking about. Anyways, I perform more PM so I can golf more after work. That's why they have a great marriage, the Kriegers. Conrad has great role models.
Jump in the golf cart together.
Yeah.
Go play a quick nine.
Yeah. Go back. And I don't know if it's rubbing off on Conrad. I don't even know if he's a good golfer. Have you ever golfed with Conrad?
No.
No.
Is that where he is? He's out golfing today?
He's at a wedding.
Oh, all right. We'll allow that.
He's not the best man, but he still took a few vacation days off and went down and stood up for his family.
He's one of the men.
I sometimes wonder how he has vacation days left.
He does seem to be gone an awful lot.
He's not here to defend himself. So we got to.
He might text in. I don't know.
Conrad, if you're texting.
He can tune in. Right. If he's a good employee, he's listening right now.
He's probably hammered right now. He's at the rehearsal dinner doing an upside down margarita on the bar. Jim from Appleton says, more PM light for me. What really messes me up is the change in spring and fall. In my world, we would always be on daylight savings time. Those people that put, did I read this text? I feel like this is very familiar.
You might have.
There's like a Halloween thing going on here, but I'm going to read it again. It's an encore performance. Those people that push for full-time standard time haven't thought it through enough. How do you think that you would like 2 months of 3:30 a.m. sunrises? I did read that because I think Emerson commented. Pamela from Wisconsin Rapids says, 1973, the little girl from...
Yeah, we'll skip that one.
Yeah, Amanda mentioned that. Nothing personal, Pamela, but I'm going to gloss over that one. But thank you for the text, as always. Pamela is one of our best texters, and she remembers that as a teenager. That sticks with you. Monica from Mount Horeb in the 608 says, PM, so I don't have to rush to get yard work and gardening done. Love the fall back. Hate the spring forward, though. Okay. That's a great one, Monica. See, are you a yard guy? You probably rent.
Yeah, right? I rent. Conrad and I are in the same apartment complex.
That's right.
Yep.
Okay.
I have yet to see him. I've been here 2 years, but we're there. At least he says he's there.
Yeah, but you're the morning guy. He's the night guy.
Yeah, true. But I'm like, I'm still out and about.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's out of here at 8:05.
I feel like we would have at least like, oh, there's Conrad in the parking lot.
Yeah.
No, nothing.
He teleports into his apartment. I guess so, yeah. And just hides.
I don't get excited about gardening or anything like
that. Oh, I cannot stand it.
No, my wife will say, oh, it's going to be gorgeous this weekend. We should work in the yard. I'm like, why would we penalize ourselves for having beautiful weather by going outside?
My dad, I went home to visit one weekend in the summer. My dad's out moving rocks. Like, not small little rocks, but like medium-sized boulders. I'm like, what are you doing? He goes, well, I'm just trying to make it, you know, look
with the rock.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Like, Cut the grass.
That's it.
More power to him. Yeah. I like cutting the grass. I'll even shovel.
Yeah.
I don't mind shoveling or snow blowing.
Right. As long as there's something in it for me.
I'm not moving rocks for fun. I'm sorry.
Sorry, Dad. So what do you have? All right. Emerson is a huge pickleball fan. Player, I should say. You're very good at it. I've seen you play.
I dabble.
Live. You dabble. You dabble very well. You're more than a dabbler. You're a go-getter. I'll allow you to say that.
Okay. Thank you.
And you're one of the best players in the world, aren't you? Ranked like number 4? No, but you're in the state, I would say. You're right up there, aren't you?
I do okay. I would say, like, I would consider myself on the higher end in the Green Bay area for sure.
Okay.
I don't know. I go have fun, man. I play a lot of tournaments. I think I'm nearing 30 tournaments this year, which is stupid to say out loud. But
why?
Yeah,
I've been, that's great
fun.
Hobby.
It's fun, man. It's a fun hobby. It keeps me in shape a little bit. I grew up competing.
Yeah.
And I think it kind of scratches that itch for competition.
What did you compete in when you grew up competing?
I played my, you know, you played your sports. I was a pretty good baseball player. I played football, soccer, tennis in high school. I raced cars. Yeah. So I think once kind of like the racing was like my big thing. I loved racing, still love racing. But once that kind of went away, needed something to do with my weekends, and pickleball filled that void a little bit.
Hey man,
a lot of it, I guess.
If you're that into sports as a kid, you do need to do something. Like I like sports. I wasn't great at it, but you kind of need something to keep you going and keep you in shape. And pickleball is like, I used to kind of make fun of it, but then I see how hard, like with guys like you play, I'm like, oh, that is a workout.
It's a workout, and it's so fun to see it. And we've talked about this before, but seeing it continue to grow and just more and more people are getting into it. And once they try it, they're like, oh, I understand what the hype was now. So it's a lot of fun. I love playing, and I'm doing some coaching with it now, and made my own Instagram page for it. Follow Emerson Pickleball. Shameless plug.
Dude,
there.
That's awesome.
It's a blast, man. I'm having fun.
Second career, possibly, somehow?
Yeah, I just, it's a fun side.
The Emerson Lehman Finishing School for Young Pickleball Players.
we'll work on
a mogul.
Yeah, it's fun. I enjoy it. It's cool to, I have so much fun with it. And to like, a lot of my clients are like middle-aged women,
right,
who they come and they want to get better. And like, it's so fun to see them light up when I teach them something.
Yeah.
And it clicks, and they listen so well. I teach kids too. And like when they listen and you just see it click in their face,
so,
and they
great.
Go, okay, yep, I get that. That's really fun for me. It's almost as fun as winning a tournament. So yeah, really enjoy it.
We have a request. My next guest, Todd Michaels, who I believe you know.
Love Todd.
Swell guy. He's here at 7:20. He's asked if you could stay for a short segment to take a quick quiz.
Of
even
course.
Though you have a burrito waiting for you and a girlfriend who doesn't appear to be jealous that you're tutoring middle-aged women at pickleball.
I hope she's not jealous. We talk about it quite a bit.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah, I hope she's not jealous, but I would love to take a quiz with Todd. That sounds great.
So we're going to keep Emerson even longer.
It's the competitiveness. That's what's keeping him here.
Well, I gave him a signing bonus. He has no right to complain. John from Madison says, I'm thinking that almost every person who doesn't go to bed at 7:30 p.m., like the gentleman you are talking to, it's a no-brainer. Nice to have some daylight on the way home from work and running the dog, walking the dog, or spending a little time outside.
Fair enough, all right, John.
I can't see a clock, so I got to get out of here. We got to get to a break. All right, Peach Wobbin, Nightlight, coming right back.
From my laboratory in the castle east to the master bedroom where the vampires feast, the ghouls all came from their humble abode to get a jolt from my electrode.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. It's not Friday. It's the eve of Halloween. But it's still a great song. Amanda playing DJ, rocking the Nightlight studio. She's sitting in for Conrad tonight. Are you having fun?
Now that things aren't imploding everywhere? Absolutely.
The monitor's back up. The clock looks great. I said clock. Right now, folks, this is very exciting.
Don't forget, I'm getting roasted on the YouTube
Todd's,
comments.
I miss Todd's laugh.
Hi, Todd.
Right? How's it going? Todd Michaels is joining us.
I said clock.
Todd always has loved my clarifications. I don't get it. It's crazy, but that's kind of the bond we have. Todd Michaels, ladies and gentlemen, joins us here on Nightlight pre-Halloween. He is one of the producers of Haunted State on Amazon Prime. He also hosts the podcast Real Ghost Stories Online and a true crime podcast that he'll tell us about in just a minute. Todd, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing better than Amanda, but her behavior affects
me. So what's going on there? Everything blowing up there or what?
Oh, man.
Technical difficulties everywhere.
It's all kinds of stuff. I forgot my pants, and it went downhill from there. And
that's pretty much just a regular Thursday, isn't it, for you, Pete? I mean,
yeah,
come on.
I park right outside. People don't mind. No, it's Amanda's doing great, and Conrad's not here tonight. He took his 37th vacation day today. So
I heard that. Yeah.
But his pal Emerson
Civic
is here.
Civic Media has a great PTO plan set up. It's wonderful.
They
Everybody
sure
wants
do.
To work here. Yeah.
They just don't know it. They just don't know it.
Conrad is not here. Emerson Lehman is here with Todd. Kiosko. You guys know each other.
Yeah. I know. I do know Todd. Yeah, Todd's great. Yeah. Todd's great. How you doing, man? Good to see you.
I'm doing well. I'm glad you're doing well as well. And I just heard you about pickleball and all that kind of stuff. You've got more energy than Pete and Amanda and I put together. And Conrad, too, even though he's not there. So
fake it till you make it. I'm glad it looks like I have energy. That's good.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for throwing me under the bus, too, Todd. It's good to see you, buddy. You said you had a little quiz or a test
I do.
Yeah, for Emerson.
You want to play a little round of Ed Gein or no?
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
He brought right. his own sound effects.
Listen, I am always a radio producer. So here we go. I've got a bunch of statements, okay?
Okay.
And you just have to tell me if it's Ed Gein or no.
Am I competing against Pete?
Are we competing?
Yeah, we'll just see who gets the most.
Okay.
And
okay.
Amanda, do you want to keep track of this?
Yeah, I got this.
Emerson is my guest, right. So you just answer first, and then I'll answer.
Okay.
Okay.
I love That's this. Nice. So basically, Emerson, if you get it wrong, Pete gets it right.
Gets it right.
You see what he just did?
No. But don't tell him. I'm
willing to take that challenge. Let's roll.
Outstanding.
All right, Ed Gein or no? First question.
No.
He made lampshades out of human skin. Ed Gein or no?
Yeah, that is Ed Gein.
It is Ed Gein. That is absolutely right.
Hello. Do I get to answer too?
No.
You don't get that one. No.
If he gets it right, see, that's how this works.
We can buzz in. We can get the bell. So you ring the bell first.
All right,
Ed Gein or no, he once tried to sell a haunted doll at a county fair. Ed Gein or no?
I'm going to say no.
I'll say yes.
Pete? Actually, no, he did not. He did not do that.
I want my guest to do well.
Set me up for success here.
Emerson's two for two. That's awesome.
Yep. 2-0 so far on Ed Gein or no. He inspired the movie characters Norman Bates, Leatherface, and Buffalo Bill.
That is Ed Gein.
That is Ed Gein, absolutely. We all know that one, right?
I knew that one too, yeah.
Here's a tough one. He was once caught digging up a grave during a full moon. Ed Gein or no?
Yes, Ed Gein.
No.
What?
No,
I didn't know if he got caught.
He never got caught.
Okay.
That's exactly right. Oh. So that was not Ed Gein.
Wow.
That's a good question. That was a good one.
Very sneaky, Todd.
In high school, he worked in a taxidermy shop. Ed Gein or no?
They didn't cover this in the show. They didn't.
The show is not
at all
factually accurate.
It's
at all, some of it is
based on a true story.
They took
some
liberties.
All right, I'm gonna say yes. You're gonna say yes.
I'm gonna say yes.
I'm gonna say or no.
Or no is correct. He did not work in a taxidermy shop. We got time for more here, Pete.
Yeah, we're good.
I got
we're
a couple more.
Fine. Yeah.
Okay. Ed Gein or no? He lived with his mother even after she died.
That is Ed Gein.
Obviously,
I watched episode
one.
We all know that.
common knowledge.
Ed Gein or no, he was a volunteer firefighter in his small Wisconsin town. Ed Gein or no?
Or no.
Yes.
It was not Ed Gein. You're right. It was Dahmer's father was a volunteer fireman.
Oh, really?
So that's where that comes in.
Did those guys used to pal around?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
And if
that
they
wasn't
did,
during the same time frame,
crap.
Was it?
I thought Ed Gein was like in the 40s, but supposedly on the Netflix show, they said that he gave a tip to help the authorities catch Ted Bundy. And that's not true. And I was like, oh my God, that's like current almost. Because Ted Bundy was like in the 70s, right, Todd?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, you've been a big help.
sounds right.
And finally, one here. Let's see. He was known to read anatomy books as a hobby. Ed Gein or no?
You can go first on this one.
I'll just say yes.
I'll say yes as well.
Yeah, he did do that. That's
he had
how
to learn that
was.
Stuff
Ed
somewhere, right?
No, teamwork, nice buddy. Job, guys. Nice job.
That was fun. Huh? That was outstanding.
It's nice what ChatGPT can do for you right before you go on the air.
Where did you find all those people clapping? You have a studio audience there you brought
this
with
is,
you?
Listen, too? I am a radio guru. You know that. I've got every sound effect possible.
I love it. Todd Michaels is here, folks. He is one of the producers of Haunted State on Amazon Prime, a really cool show where they take you to haunted places around our state. The Door County episode is awesome. And he also, we're going to tell you all about his podcast after the news. Emerson, it has been awesome having you here, buddy, as always.
It is such a pleasure all the time. Look forward to being back. Todd, great to see you again.
Go eat your burrito.
I cannot wait. Very excited.
All right, we're going to do, let's get through some, a couple of these stream texts, and we'll come back and talk to Todd about The Conjuring. Sydney Frankenstein says, all right, so even after that crazy commercial cut, I'm still supposed to believe it's not Amanda.
No, that was
coming
me.
After
that was me.
That was Amanda.
Okay, jeez. I'm trying. I'm trying.
PGIFFM, I don't know what that means, says, I feel daylight savings is past its usefulness in the 21st century. Totally agree. He continues, or she continues, saying, I'd go as far as saying time zones a bit outdated as well. That's interesting. All right, lots more to come, folks. We're going to do the news. We're coming back with Todd Michaels. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Welcome back. Great to have you with me, folks. It is a Thursday night edition of Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabba, and it is the day before Halloween. Very exciting night here as we broadcast statewide from beautiful downtown Green Bay. Steady Eddie says he's in the 608 in response to our question of the night was, how do you feel about daylight savings, more AM or PM light? He says, Pete, I favor ending daylight savings time. As a compromise, maybe we could split the difference. Next March, we could spring forward a half hour and then never change the clocks again. Am I King Solomon, or is there some flaw in my logic? There is nothing flawed about you, Steady Eddie. I absolutely love your text. Todd Michaels.
That's a strong statement right there.
He might disagree, but I love it. That laughter you're hearing is my pal, Todd Michaels. He's back on Nightlight, and it's so great to have you here, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? How have you been?
Doing very well. It's great to hear your voice. It's great to see you on the stream, and very excited to talk about, I mean, this is your season, buddy, right? I mean, you must be excited about Halloween. I don't want to be presumptuous, but I assume you like Halloween, given you're a paranormal investigator.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think that I get to celebrate it as much, maybe, as some other people. I stay pretty busy when I'm not working. I'm still working, so I don't know that I necessarily partake in a lot of Halloween stuff. But my my Halloween typically is basically bookend with great scary movies. Like I start watching all the classics from Amityville Horror to The Exorcist, all that kind of stuff. And I kind of weed my way around to the end of the season. And then by that time you're at like Halloween 142 where, Jason or Michael or whoever the heck comes back and they're not even an actual person anymore. They're just a hologram, but somehow they're still killing people,
Right. We where do you put The Shining on that list?
You know, that is really, that's such an interesting movie. And I have actually gone to the Stanley out in Colorado and stayed and investigated there and stuff like that, which is what that movie is based upon. It's pretty good. I mean, it's kind of a freaky little movie. I think Shelley Duvall was probably the scariest part of the movie, don't you think? She was a little freaky.
Well, that's interesting.
Well, she had that cigarette with the ash that was about 3 inches long at the end of it. And you're just waiting for that thing to fall
horrifying.
Off. And I think it was horrifying. There was more anticipation for that than when Jack Nicholson banged on the door and said, here's Johnny,
Exactly. So, all right. This is what we were talking earlier, Todd. I want to talk about The Conjuring, but did you watch the Ed Gein monster series on Netflix?
So I started it.
Okay.
And I don't mind a little dramatization when it comes to paranormal stuff, because you have to, and even, stories like Ed Gein, you need a little something to kind of, Ed's just the kind of topic where I don't think you need to dramatize much because
point.
He's so freaky. And I also couldn't get over the woman from The Conners and Roseanne that was in it.
Laurie Metcalf.
Yeah, I really, really like her, and I couldn't see her. I do too. She's comedic timing is unbelievable. I had a hard time seeing her in that and not seeing Aunt Jackie. You know, it was very hard for me, or her character from Big Bang Theory or whatever. It was just very hard for me to kind of pull that out.
Interesting. Yeah. I knew a couple of reviews I read kind of made me not want to watch it. You know, I mean, I agree with you. He's interesting enough and weird enough that you don't have to take liberties, right?
Right.
All right. So let's jump in, Todd. I find this fascinating. I have not seen any of the Conjuring movies. I'm not a horror guy, but I am going to watch them now. I didn't know it was based on a real house. So you said there's some news around the sale of the house and the house itself. Please elaborate.
Well, this gets a little deep into the paranormal world, but I'll tell you a little bit about the house. So the house is real. It was actually built around 1736. So it's been around a long, long time. And the family that owned the property between about 1970 and the early 80s was the Perrin family. And they're the ones that were kind of depicted in the Conjuring series, at least the first rendition of the Conjuring. And they had just a ton of stuff going on during that time. And Ed and Lorraine Warren did come out to investigate the Conjuring house. And that's where the whole series of Conjuring films came from. But since they got rid of the house, and today several other people have purchased the house, it was kind of turned into a hotspot for paranormal investigators. Maybe some people that didn't have really good intentions bought that house. And some things have kind of gone badly for the current owners that just got rid of the house. So, in order to basically save the house in the world of the paranormal, Pete, they reached out to one of the original ghost hunters, Jason Hawes. He was part of the original ghost hunting team that started the TV show back in like the early 2000s, which really kicked off paranormal investigating in general. And so he's doing a GoFundMe right now with just average people across the country raising money to basically save this house so that everyday people can spend maybe $150 to spend a night there and investigate instead of spending like $1,500 or $2,000 a person to go in and see if there's any ghosts around. So I think right now they've raised a total of only like 150,000. So they got a long way to go to hit that 1.5 million. But there are people actually giving money to help save this part of paranormal history from basically being taken in, you know.
Wow. So how did that go from, I assume a producer just heard about this and optioned the story, and that's how it became the franchise?
Yeah, I mean, the story's been out there for a long time, and obviously the Ed and Lorraine Warren story was out there as well. They were investigators who really made their mark in the late 60s through early 80s, investigating places like the Amityville Horror and the Conjuring House and things like that. And somebody went into the Perrin family and said, listen, we want to tell your story. And the Perrin family, I think, kind of agreed with it, even though they truly believe that, you know, it was dramatized way over the top. Many of the things in the movie.
Didn't they forcibly remove the Warrens from the house?
Well, the Perrins did, yes. In fact, Papa Perrin apparently literally almost knocked Ed Warren out because they didn't want them there. So there's a whole side story, you're right, Amanda, on that as well. But yeah, you know, they take some liberties when they tell the story. But still, this house has kind of gone through ownership changes. And as the changes have happened, it's gotten harder for people to get in there and investigate. And the owners keep getting a little crazier and crazier every time somebody spends more money to buy this thing. So
my guest is Todd Michaels. He is a paranormal investigator and one of the producers of the show Haunted State, which you can check out on Amazon Prime. He also hosts the podcast Real Ghost Stories Online and a true crime podcast.
Oh my God, look at me there. You see me on the screen?
That's from the show. Did you find that, Amanda? That was a great, listen, that's a great show. I love that Wisconsin is haunted like that. I mean, let me ask you this though, Todd, before we move on.
Yeah.
Why are you surprised that people, like, because regular people have lived there in the Conjuring house, right? Knowing the history?
A lot of people live in haunted houses, Pete. I don't know how deep and dark the actual history of that house truly is. The movies make it out to seem pretty evil. And I think some things did happen there. But, you know, there are people who live in haunted houses every day and you just kind of deal with it. You get you get by, and some people don't mind it so much.
Wow. So what
listen, if I found the perfect house, if it had avocado green appliances and it had shag carpeting and some really bad wood paneling in the house, and I could get it for a dime and it was haunted, I would go there. That would be my thing.
Does it have a talking dog at the same time that perhaps like Scooby snacks?
Bloodstains in the carpet. Oh,
I see what you're going. She's going for Scooby-Doo. That's what she's doing. Listen, I wouldn't say no if there was a van that went along with that, that had the mystery machine painted on the side.
Perfect.
I'd be all over that. Yep.
That's right.
Jinkies.
What is the worst thing that's happened there that you know of at the Conjuring House that really happened?
Well, the thing is, the history goes back a long way. As far as the haunting, I don't think a lot of things have really happened. As far as I know, there haven't been any situations where there's actual manifestations or somebody getting possessed or anything like that. A lot of it actually happened in the early days of it. It was actually not paranormal stuff that went on. There were a lot of fights and land ownership, you know, struggles and stuff like that in that part of the country at that time. And I think there was probably some death that was around that facility. But I don't know that there was a lot of bad stuff haunting-wise that went down at the actual house.
PG on the stream says, so once again, people are the real monsters. There you go.
Listen, I will tell you right now, and I think I said this the last time I was on, as I'm getting more into the crime world as well with Hidden Killers, that podcast, human beings are scarier than paranormal. Ed Gein is scarier than a ghost.
A ghost, right?
Jeffrey Dahmer is scarier than a ghost. And so you're absolutely right about that, PG.
Todd, what when you're investigating paranormal activity, what is the thought like when you're doing it? Are you excited to find something that's never been found before, or just to confirm something you've heard? Like, what's your passion when you're actually investigating?
I think it really depends on the location and some of the stories or the lore that goes with that location. I think early on in my investigating life, I've been doing this for a couple of decades, but I think for me, you start off, you want to go out, you want to get scared. It's just like being kids and going out and spending a night in a graveyard, right? You go and do it just to be scared. And I think most people start investigating for that reason. But right now I think that my goal is if we can somehow communicate and find evidence of something there, and open the door for whatever's there to let us know something, whatever it is. Say something that's going to mean something for that spirit, that energy, or for somebody that may still be living, helping whatever's there either move on, communicate, whatever. Kind of understand why it's still sticking around. Why are you still here? Why aren't you, you know, off vacationing in the Poconos or something like that?
Is that proof of an afterlife in any way?
I don't know, because I don't know. It, you know, our understanding of what ghosts are may not be the full understanding of it. The more I investigate, the more I really start to feel like there's maybe a timeline shift, or somehow it's tied into, this is scary, but maybe, you know, aliens, or, you know, is Bigfoot involved in all this? And there's some sort of like window where, you know, wormholes and stuff like, I mean, I just don't know. I think that we are trying to simplify something that we just can't quite understand. So we obviously go to, this is a dead person just kind of roaming around a building, a house, a location.
All right. After a really short break, we'll have a few minutes left. I'm going to ask you, in your opinion, Todd, what the most extraordinary finding was in the paranormal community since its inception, think of a big one if you could. Okay. And then also like regions where it's more typical. PJ also says, Amanda, you are doing awesome. Hang in there. Green Bay buttons are hard anyway, because they are all green and gold. There you go.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
PJ also says, yeah, Pete forgot, in quotes, his pants again. It happens. Don't judge. We're coming right back to close this up with our pal Todd Michaels at Speech Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Tomorrow night, folks, on Nightlight, that's Halloween. We don't really have any spooky stuff coming up, but Mike Clemens will be here, Civic Media Sports Authority. He'll give us an update on the Packers, the Bucks, maybe the World Series. And it's a bar band Friday night. Terry Barr will be here with outstanding music, as always, and really fun chat. So be sure and join us tomorrow. If you're done trick-or-treating, tune in and be part of the show. My special thanks to our pal Emerson Lehman for coming into the studio tonight. Todd, would it have killed you to come into the studio?
Yeah, it really would have. That drive, I'm so glad I don't have to do that anymore. Trust me.
I'm still plugging away, and I need new tires. It's only,
ooh, that's the worst.
It's only $1,200, though, because it's a hybrid. and my thanks to that man I'm talking to right now, Todd Michaels. And Monday on the show, producer Doug Prey and Joel Murray from Chicago PD will be here, too. So lots of fun guests coming up over the next few days. You're going to be here, too, on Monday, right, Amanda? Conrad will not be back.
He will not.
He will not. Okay. All right. Todd Michaels is here, paranormal investigator. We are talking to Todd. We just finished a discussion about the Conjuring House. Before the break, Todd, I asked you, what have been some of the biggest discoveries in the paranormal community since its inception?
Well, I mean, that the community goes way, way back. I think the normalization of investigating paranormal probably was one of the biggest things. And I think two things really led to that. And whether you believe them or you think they were, you know, snake oil sellers or whatever, Ed and Lorraine Warren did a lot to bring paranormal research to the forefront. And as I said, a lot of people disagree with whether or not they did it right or they had the right intentions and all that kind of stuff. But putting that aside, they kind of put themselves on the line to get out there and say, yes, this is haunted, or we are investigating ghosts, and here's the equipment we use, and this is what we do. Before that, there are a few people that did go out there that did that, but they really brought it to pop culture. You saw them in newspapers. You heard their stories. Of course, the Amityville Horror came out, that book, which became a movie. Mm-hmm. And again, whether or not you believe that house in Amityville, New York, was haunted or not, it brought it to the forefront, and that was really that time period, the late 70s and early 80s, really was a time when people were starting to accept that maybe what our parents were telling us all these years, that ghosts aren't real, may not be the full story. And I think those few things kind of together opened people's minds to at least accept the possibility that the things we see and feel and touch and all that kind of stuff on a daily basis may not be all there is going on around us.
Wow, great answer.
Two great shows, too. In Search of, Leonard Nimoy. Remember that show?
Oh, yeah.
That was a great show, whether it was paranormal or it was Bigfoot or whatever. Again, that show did a lot of stuff to kind of open people's minds. And the other one was Robert Stack on Unsolved Mysteries.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, there's a great Wisconsin tie-in with that. There was a story back in the, I'm going to say probably mid to late 80s, about a bunk bed in Horicon, Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
A haunted bunk bed in Horicon. And it was featured on Unsolved Mysteries. And that was a big deal back in the day. Little Horicon, Wisconsin. You know, this poor family is getting tormented by a bunk bed. And I have to tell you that the funniest thing is we do the Real Ghost Stories Online podcast. I would say in a 12-month period, we probably have 6 or 7 or 8 phone calls or stories written in from people who have had experiences with haunted bunk beds. Now, I don't know why, but every time, and we have a different bell, but whenever we have a haunted bunk bed story, it gets a bell on our podcast to let us know, you know, just so that we can kind of commemorate the whole thing.
I remember you talking about that on one of your previous visits. All right, we have about 2 minutes left, Todd. First of all, tell us where we can find your podcast, your multiple podcasts, and what else you might have coming up.
Cool. Real Ghost Stories Online, you can find that anywhere you get podcasts. The largest collection of real ghost stories told by real people anywhere. Video, audio, all that kind of stuff. Hidden Killers and Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi. We do an hour live every Monday through Friday at 11 o'clock Central Time on YouTube. Check that out. We've got tons of stuff. I will tell you quickly about a story about a woman in Florida who hated her son-in-law so much, she had him murdered. She paid some people. Her son got somebody to pay. And this is like the real people that we're kind of covering there. Jeez. And then the other one that I'm still a big part of is the Sandy and Todd cast. We talk about paranormal. We shoot the crap. All that kind of stuff. So those three places you can find what I do.
Busy guy. That's great.
Yep.
So with about a minute left, Todd, where is paranormal activity happen most, if anywhere? Cemeteries, old houses, schools, theaters. Is there a hotbed?
I would say if you're gonna hone in on one location, Gettysburg, Pennsylvania would be like the location where if you want to go and you're just kind of a casual observer, you will find something there pretty much on a daily basis, whether you're in an old hotel, whether you're in an old shop, or whether you're out on the battlefields. There's stuff going on out there all the time.
That's fascinating. Buddy, it's great catching up. Thank you so much. Always fun.
Hey, can I do this real quick? Let me see. Yeah. I got to do that.
Oh, look at that. Pete, it's Satan.
Come on, man. I got to walk to the garage. Now I'm going to have that.
Do you want me to hold your hand?
Probably I'm the only car in there. I'm sure something's going to happen.
Without your pants, too. Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, that'll keep the ghosts away, unfortunately. Todd, thanks a bunch, buddy. Have a great Halloween.
You too.
All right. That's Todd Michaels. Check out... all the things he's busier than ever.
He's always busy.
Yeah, very talented.
Never leaves the house.
Very talented guy. And one more stream comment. I love this. PG says, ha, 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 Amanda, you are a gem. And I could not agree more.
I appreciate that wholeheartedly. Thank you.
Thank you for filling in tonight, my friend. It's been fun. And we'll do it again on Monday.
Indeed.
Conrad is, he's on vacation day 42, I think, on Monday. So you'll be here. And we'll do it all again, but we'll be back tomorrow night with Mike Clemens and Terry Barr, folks. Have a great night. Have a great, safe Halloween tomorrow. On behalf of the lovable producer Conrad and Amanda Nimmer, I'm Pete Schwamba saying good night, Wisconsin.
And happy Halloween.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.